This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Bank's totally free checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. This morning, we welcome Flathead County Administrator Pete Melnick.
Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Robin.
Okay. Good to have you with us today. And I'm glad you're here because I am so totally confused about this whole Mills thing. And we have been promising everybody that you would straighten us all out.
Oh, good.
Not too much pressure there, Pete.
It's a weird concept. I mean, the mill concept is just unusual. There's no really perfect analogy. And so I think one way to think about it, and I look at it as if you have shares in a business that you need to sell to maintain your lifestyle or to purchase something, you have that equity, then you would sell a certain amount of shares to buy that or fund it. Those shares go up and down. So if the share value goes down, you have to sell more shares. Uh-huh. If the share values go up, then you sell less to maintain that lifestyle, assuming it stays the same. So that's kind of what a mill is, probably for the layman's terms. So
now, a mill, as I understand it, is $1 of tax per $1,000 of valuation.
That's correct.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
That's why it's a mill.
That's right. It's a 1/1,000th of a value.
Right.
So it's an unusual concept. It's, you know, it dates back a long time, but it's very common in city and local governments and state governments on how they levy to pay for services.
Okay, so what's this little flap we've got going between the governor and our counties?
It's quite unprecedented, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What we have here is the 95 mills is what we're talking about. What we have here is that the state has a law, it's called the school equalization levy, and that it authorizes the county governments, the county treasurer, to levy a certain amount to fund schools and to make them whole across the state.
Okay.
And that level is at 95 mills. Now, one mill for the county is worth about $500,000, okay? And again, just like a share, it fluctuates. Mm-hmm. The Beaverhead County examined this and said, wait a second, those mills, those shares, should float like they do in the cities and counties. And they've never floated. And that seems wrong. And so Beaverhead County, with the support of MACO, requested the Attorney General to weigh in and say, we think this is wrong. Can you help us figure it out? And the Attorney General decided, and Flathead County looked at the analysis, analyzed the data, and said, hey, we think these guys have a point. Mm-hmm. This is unusual. Why isn't this being done? Like, we have to be, we have to float our mills. We have to sell more or less shares.
Yeah.
And so, and that's the law. It's called 1510-420. That's how cities and governments, you've heard it before, Robin.
Oh, yeah. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah. and that's that sort of that floating levy. So the Attorney General decided not to weigh in on it. And all the counties started looking at the evidence and said, we think that the actual levy amount is 77.89 or 9. You have to round up, which would reduce the property taxes for the local communities. And so, at this point, when I left work yesterday, I think it was 25 counties who have passed resolutions lowering that mill levy from 95 to 77.9. And what that means for Flathead County residents is, in the aggregate, county residents will pay $8.5 million less to the state for that tax.
All right. Okay. Just because one of the things that has been floating around here is, well, the county commissioners just defunded our schools.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. That's. I don't necessarily think that's true. The what we understand and what MACO is telling us and what our examination
now,
of the
MACO,
law.
MACO, let's be sure, that's Montana Association of Counties.
Yeah, that's the group that sort of represents all the counties in the whole. And what they're telling, and we've examined the law as well, and the schools receive a fixed amount by state statute. So the legislature says this is how much you're going to get for that equalization. Now, they draw from those mills to fund that, but it's a fixed amount. Anything over that fixed amount just has been going into the general fund of the state.
Mm-hmm. Which is spent at the governor's discretion.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So
and
essentially,
that's not right.
It's already the amount of money, the school's equalization, as they call it, that is fixed.
That's right.
That's not going to change no matter what.
That's correct.
Okay. But what will change is how much we all pay in excess of that.
That's correct. Now, let's just be clear. Let's just say that it didn't cover what that fixed amount was. Then the state would have to make that difference up from their own general fund.
Equalization.
It's equalization, right? The mills should float accordingly, whether it's to the benefit or disadvantage of the schools. You know, a lot of we've heard a lot of people say, "Well, this is for the schools. You have to do this." That's kind of the ends justify the means. We don't operate like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is because we all love the fact that our homes appreciate in value.
That's right.
Until tax time.
That's a fact.
And we have seen unprecedented growth in our home values. And without some type of an adjustment here, our taxes are going to be higher than our payments,
well,
our mortgage payments.
And in the county side, we're doing what we can to address that, right? Like, you know, I've said on this show before, and I say it to the staff, the leadership is you have to do three things all at the same time. You have to respect the past, deliver in the present, and predict the future all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do our budget workshop, when we did it back in January, we predicted the future and said, look at the house values. This is an assessment year. The values are going to go through the roof. People will not understand. We have to hold the line even more so than we have in the past. Like, it is like paramount that we, the county, hold the line for the county taxpayer here. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
If your house value stays the same, that's the language I'm required to use in the law, your taxes will go down significantly.
Now, is there any truth to the rumor that small school districts that don't have the tax base need to be funded by the overall MACO base?
Overall count. I think that is the equalization.
Yeah, yeah. That's the equalization.
That's what they mean by that.
Yeah.
And yet, it's a fixed amount, like you were saying.
That's right.
Based on the number of students and all of that kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, I won't go into the nuance of that law, okay. But what I will say is that the those smaller school districts are being equalized. That money has already been appropriated and not allocated, but at least it's been appropriated, and it is scheduled to go to those schools.
Right.
The levy is where they used to draw those funds from. But the county's argument is that that levy should float. It shouldn't be static, just like ours isn't static. Ours floats. Mm-hmm. That prevents you from your property taxes doubling, like a lot of people say. Your property taxes didn't double.
Well, the screwy thing is they do the assessment every 2 years.
Yes.
And who assesses? Is it the state or
the
county?
The state does. The county
the
does
The state
not.
Does it. The county collects the taxes. And then we send the money to the state. It's like they're the bank, and then they redistribute the money, and what's left over is, I guess, in a slush fund.
Your word's not mine, Robin.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to understand. We're going to talk to the governor a little bit after 9 this morning. And
But I'm just... I just want, so many people have asked us and said, what in the world? We don't understand what's happening with our taxes. And the other thing you have to remember... And we just sent 5 levies and bond issues down to defeat here because I don't think people were opposed to, you know, the levies for the schools and the bond issue for Whitefish High School. I think they were just saying, my God, wait a minute here. What's going to happen to my property taxes if I approve these additional levies?
Yeah, if you approve additional levies, your taxes will go up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a levy is. Your taxes will go up. Flathead County, you know, we've lowered, again, if your property values stay the same, you will pay less in taxes. That is a fact. Most people's properties didn't stay the same. They've appreciated. So you will, your taxes will go up. They just won't go up as much as they would have if we didn't hold the line.
Okay. So the next step here, I guess my question is, who's going to prevail in this thing and how do we find out? Does the governor win or do the counties win?
Well, the governor, this is unusual too. The governor sued Missoula County in advance of their vote. So they hadn't even voted yet. They were just considering it, and the state sued Missoula County on this 95 mils. From what we understand, that is the only county that's been sued. Nobody of the other 25 that have passed it so far were even considering it. No one else has been sued. I've been talking to my county administrators, like, who else? You know, and they're like, nope, just Missoula so far. We're watching this as well. I think that a lawsuit will settle this. And unfortunately, I wish that we could come to an agreement, but I'm just the administrator, and sure. I'm doing what I'm asked to do.
Your job is just to explain this to us, and I think you've done a good job of doing that. And so the next thing we want to talk about is a couple of projects that are front and center, yes. Septage plant and jails. That's up next.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Outfitting your family for winter sports can be a slippery slope. From equipment to clothing, expenses add up faster than a downhill run. This can help. My name is Kristen Delton from Glacier Bank, member FDIC, welcoming you to Save Money Headquarters. The Kalispell Ski Swap is October 7th at the fairgrounds. It's biggest swap around and the place to buy or consign new and used gear. All shapes, sizes, brands, colors, and styles for everyone in your family at a fraction of the cost. Like fresh powder, saving money feels good. So will knowing the proceeds benefit Kalispell Ski Club. Complete details including consignment, early access to the sale, and a family fun night, all at kalispellskiclub.com.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
And joining us today, the man with his thumb on the pulse of Flathead County, we have County Administrator Pete Melnick. You are in a unique position, really, to know all that's going on in the county.
I do have a seat at the table, and it's fascinating. I love it.
Well, you know, the thing is, you can talk to each of the county commissioners. They can't talk to each other.
That's a fact. Yeah. And that's sometimes I have to, you know, all three county commissioners are politically aligned in a lot of ways, ideologically aligned, but they see things from three very different perspectives and they don't see eye to eye all the time. And so when people say, what is the county thinking? I have to sort of blend three different thoughts together to speak for what the county is thinking, and that can be difficult at times.
Well, we've got a septage situation we have got to deal with, and it looks like we're on our way to a solution.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the county commissioners have approved the purchase, and we've closed on the 56 acres down on Wiley Dyke Road. We've got an MOA with the Lakeside Water and Sewer District. There are a couple little hanging chads left that need to be figured out in terms of their permits. But we're confident that they're going to see those through. And then we're starting a final design process here shortly. So we hope to start digging and breaking ground this spring.
Wow. Well, the thing that we have to realize here is that there's only so much land in Flathead County, and that land is being turned into homes, which many of which now are into septic systems, either community septic systems or individual homes. And these are all regulated by the county now, by the City County Health Department. But every 5 years, these things got to get pumped out, and that septage has got to go somewhere.
There's about 30,000 septic tanks that we can account for in Flathead County, you know. And so that right now the current process is, and again, we owe a debt of gratitude for the septic pumpers and the farmers who lease their land to allow this to happen. I mean, if it wouldn't happen, I can't even imagine what the valley would look like. But Right now, septage is pumped from your tank. That sludge is collected, and then it is dumped directly and injected into a field, and it is tilled over. Mm-hmm. And that's how septic sludge is disposed of right now. We think we can do it better. I think it, and I think the community agrees that this is much needed. So we're moving forward.
Well, we've only got so much space to till this into the ground.
Yes, land is getting very dear to us. I think the farmers, you know, we were getting some information from those farmers who leased that land, and they, you know, 20 years ago, they were all by themselves. Now subdivisions and neighbors are encroaching on their land, and they're complaining about it. And I don't blame them.
No,
you know?
No.
And so they're like, we want to get out of this business. I want to return my land to productive farm fields or whatever they want to do. So
the process here in this septage plant is to process this, and we separate the liquid and the solids.
Yeah, this is kind of neat. This is what our engineers have designed is a system. It's a closed system where the pumpers go into a building that goes into a sequencing batch reactor where the solids and the liquids are separated. The solids, which is the easy part, are mixed with a carbon compound, which is basically mm-hmm. wood chips, and then it decomposes. Nature does its thing, and it does it very efficiently and very well, and it's turned into compost. The water, that's the tricky part. Water has to be taken care of appropriately. And we have to find someone who will take that water to treat it. And that's why we're partnering with Lakeside. They have the capabilities, the permits, and the technology to do that.
Yeah, and what they have is a pivot. It's out there in the fields south of town, not far from where you're building this plant. And they just, this thing goes around and it just sprays it into the ground.
That's the final step in their process.
Okay.
They have a treatment process as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just like our water goes right to the fields. It goes through a treatment process where it's reduced down to a safe product, and then it is put into the fields.
And this is also has to do with seepage into our aquifer, and this is something we got to protect too.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, this is progress. This is progress, mm-hmm. and this is what governments are designed to do, is to continue to make this valley clean, and a pristine for us to live, work, and play.
Well, back to the jail now.
Yes.
This is one of those topics that, you know, we go back to your predecessor, Mike Pence,
yes.
go all the way back, I think, what was it, maybe almost 10 years ago when he came into our old studios and showed us blueprints and said, hey, this is where we're going to build a jail, and none of that's happened.
Well, I have some, this might be a scoop for KGEZ. I don't know if you have a sound effect, but the county commissioners will consider a purchase agreement for 115 acres in Lower Valley where we will hopefully put a jail. So we've already found some property. We've negotiated a purchase price with the seller. He has agreed to it, and we've got the document signed, and it's going to go on the agenda on Tuesday.
Wow.
That's pretty big.
That's huge. That's huge. So now we've got a location.
You have a location.
And we've already got blueprints. I'm sure they'll be modified to make. But nonetheless, the blueprints that we saw and the designs we saw were pretty fantastic in that it dealt with more than just housing inmates. It dealt with treating them. It dealt with helping them get educated and back into the system so we don't have them recycling in and out of the jail all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's how modern justice works these days, right? Like, you know, you don't just have it's not just locked bars and the guy's in there, you know, waiting his time out, right?
With a tin cup.
With a tin cup, right? Like, that's kind of an ancient model. Right now we're looking to bring these folks back. Some of them have made mistakes, and they're and they want to get right with society, and we can help them do that. That's a long way down the road. We've got to, you know, we're going to go out for once we get this, we've got to get a bond. We've got a lot of work to do, but this mm-hmm. land purchase is a tremendous groundbreaking first step towards this.
And we've been, as a county, been saving money toward this eventuality.
Yeah, we have about $12 million saved up.
Yeah, okay.
We received a brief from the Slate Architecture, who did a sort of a need study on what the bed count should look like and what this facility will need. And they also kind of have a prediction. It's expensive. We're looking anywhere from $100 to $130 million to construct this.
Wow.
So we will roll up our sleeves, sharpen our pencils, and look for ways to drive down those costs, look for alternatives, all that kind of stuff. But we do not have that kind of money. This goes back to taxes. We will likely have to ask the voters if they agree that this is where you want to go with crime and punishment.
And that's the reason why we've got to do this mill thing.
That's
right. We've got to get it down so that the basic tax rate is lower, so that then we can afford to do a bond issue without sending everybody's tax bills through the roof.
That's right. I mean, if the voters approve a bond, your taxes will go up. That's a fact. Mm-hmm.
Here's an idea. Convict labor. No.
The chain gang. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we need, Robin. Well, let's move on to something else that we seem to have a problem with, and that's abandoned vehicles. And Robin will ask you about that after this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever signed up for a product or service and asked for more strings attached, please? I don't think so. What you do want is great service, dependability, and value. Easy, no hassles. We can help you with that. This is Cedar Hardy for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. Totally free checking at Glacier Bank is just that. Free, no fine print, no minimum balance required, and no hidden fees. When you open your account, you'll receive a gift. We hope that's okay. Glacier Bank will also buy back your checks and debit card from another financial institution and apply a $25 credit to your new account. Sound good? It is good. You can depend on Glacier Bank to deliver what we offer. No strings attached. Isn't that what you really want?
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Well, our conversation this morning with Pete Melnick, always good to get filled in. He's the Flathead County Administrator. I had a reason to travel to Portland and Seattle recently, and I think this is an urban problem in the cities, also maybe brought on by homelessness. And I've just been hearing about it the last couple of days here in the Flathead. Abandoned vehicles and RVs and the like.
It's becoming a growing problem here in the Valley. I think Dave Prunty, our solid waste director, said, 5-10 years ago, it was one or two a year. Now it seems like we're dealing with them almost weekly. And these are abandoned. These are RVs that people are living in them short term and just leaving them on the side of the road. Now, these aren't, when you walk into them, they're not clean or pristine.
There's a reason they've abandoned them. This is kind of like their last hurrah, I guess.
A lot of them are filled with drugs. A lot of them are filled with drug paraphernalia. They're unusable. They're health hazards. And the county goes to a tremendous amount of expense to address it. And it's frustrating.
And I understand that it takes workers who ordinarily would be doing other county services away from those jobs to deal with this.
Yeah, I mean, it takes sheriff's deputies. They have to be there on scene because you don't know who's going to be in there and what they're going to do when you come knocking on the door. So that takes a sheriff's deputy away from productive work, if you ask me.
And we have so many deputies, we don't know what to do with them.
I mean, we need every single boot on the ground here, right?
I'm being a smart aleck here, but we are way short of what we need.
And it takes landfill personnel. They have to go out there inspect it, cut it down, haul it off to the landfill. It takes capacity in the landfill. It takes our road and bridge department, especially in the winter, if they have to plow roads or plow stuff to go get it, tow it out. So there's a tremendous manpower and operational expense that goes with dealing with this growing problem here in the Valley.
Okay, and the solution is
don't do it. But what we need, again, this is like the commissioner's homeless letter, like, we need you to tell your stories, right? We need a change in behavior here. So if you see these things, report them as soon as you see them, because often we can at least find the people in them and we can address it with them. There's no license plates on these. They file down the VIN numbers, so you can't track them down to who belongs them, right?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. This is
criminal enterprise.
Yeah, and it's all These aren't like moms with kids, right? These are these are transients, and they're chronic homeless people that are
doing this. You mentioned drug paraphernalia and the like, and in this age of fentanyl and meth, maybe they're used as labs. Do they have to? They have to decontaminate them before they can dispose of them.
It's a dangerous business, and you have to tread lightly in those campers as you're checking to make sure no one's even in them, buried under some blankets or something. You know,
boy, Pete is always a great conversation.
Oh, man. And
I really do appreciate you spending time with us on the mill thing, because we just that's a confusion to a lot of folks. I think it helped a lot. Thanks so much. It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender.